Amen. I'm gonna, Brother Joe, you gotta watch. Can you throw something at me at like 10 of or something? He said, gladly, amen. Amen.
I'm looking around,
so
we'll all do that.
Amen. Amen. Put this slingshot away, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity, Lord, to say something about you, Lord, in your word. Please, God, just calm my nerves, Lord. Please help everybody here, Lord, not just to open the book on Sunday morning, Lord. Please help us open it throughout the week, Lord. Help us to have a desire, Lord, to study and see what your word has in store for us, Lord. Help us to just read it, Lord, and figure it out, Lord. Again, I just love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to Romans 9, amen. So I got to pick it up a little bit here. So I'm still going to read some scripture, but I'm going to go a little quicker, amen, on some stuff. So I'm going to say some stuff, give you some verses, and we'll finish this out real quick. I know Stacy was really hoping to read, but I'm going to not do that today. I'm going to go a little quicker. Sorry, Stacy. So let me see what verse are we in here. Let's finish verse 4. So 9:4. I'm not even going to read the whole chapter. You guys hopefully are reading it, amen? So Romans 9:4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. So of course the Jews had all this and they still rejected Christ. So we talked about the covenants last week. We went over the Edenic, the Adamic, Noahic, the Abrahamic. We were just hitting the Mosaic covenant. The other two are the Davidic covenant and the New Covenant. So what applies to Israel? Noah, they were told what to do and not to do. Abrahamic and Mosaic. David is a little bit different. But they had all these things given to them. Amen. That's good preaching for us in America. We have all these things given to us. But we don't care. We don't give a flip. We do what we want. We're going to watch what we want. We're going to listen to what we want. We're going to go where we want. We don't care what God says. All we care is how we feel and what our friends and family feel. So I was just talking to a preacher, and I was going to have Stacy read it, but we're going to hold off. For the Mosaic Covenant, it was Exodus 19 and 20. So in 20, it gives, what's Exodus 20 give? The Ten Commandments. Who has all Ten Commandments memorized, amen? Of course, there's a few hundred more, but those 10, okay. It's funny because when you look at those, it's a list of what not to do. I don't like being told what not to do. You have no problem in telling other people what not to do. You don't want anyone taking your wife, taking your kid, taking your money, taking your food. You don't want anybody doing wrong to you. So it's simple. You should follow a set of rules and not do wrong to them. Amen. Now, I know that has nothing to do with salvation, but as a Christian, we need to get our mindset, it's not about me. And we'll call Pastor out in a minute to sing that song, but it's not about me, amen. It's about Jesus Christ. And so the issue is, and it's my issue forever since I've been coming here. Why am I here? I love you guys, but if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, most of you I wouldn't even talk to. That's just my flesh. I don't have time. There's so many other things I could be doing right now. Before farming, it was banking. There's so many other things I could be doing to make money or to make me feel good or that I enjoy. But I believe the Lord wants me here to sit in a pew and learn. It's my heart is that I'm going to stay here. No matter who calls, I'm still staying here, amen. But he's a mayor, I can see. So the issue is going to be with your heart. My wife and I, we talk about different things sometimes. I don't want to say I've ever got my feelings hurt at church, but there have been some things that I thought were stupid that went on. But I didn't leave church because I'm not here just because Brother Blum calls here. Some people maybe are going to come just because he's here. I'm not here because he's here. I'm not here because Pastor Ryman's here. And Pastor Ryman's a big part of me growing in the Lord. He's a gigantic part of it. I'm here because I truly believe the Lord wanted us here. So if your heart's right and God wants you here, if Brother Cody looks at you funny, you're not going to quit church. If Brother Matthew comes in and says something that you don't like and he uses a scripture, whether it's in context or out of context, he's not going to chase you off. You know what I mean? If Brother Mo, you know, honks his horn at you because you're a fool and you're driving wrong, that's not going to make you quit church. Because if your heart, Jesus Christ, is here, no one's going to separate you or pull you out. We heard that in Romans 8. But every time I get up here, I have to be worried. Oh, if I talk about Disney or sodomites or Facebook, whatever it is, someone's going to get their feelings hurt. And that's crazy. You're here to learn the truth and learn. So just read. If I say that grape Kool-Aid is better than red Kool-Aid, think I'm an idiot and read for yourself and see what's better. Amen? So let's get into this. We went over the covenants, what apply. We went over those quickly. So let's finish out verse 4. Because you want to understand when you're reading your Bible, you want to figure out what words are meaning. So you want to study the words. So when you're going through your Bible and you're seeing words you don't understand, you want to go back and look up the definition of the words to see what they mean. A lot of problem when you're studying your Bible is you don't understand what the words are saying. You just read along. We sometimes even, I do it myself when I'm reading, I say the word the wrong way in my head. And Brother Sampson told a story when he was in Bible school that he preached a message on a verse. And like guys were crying, getting riot. I think he had like 30 or some guys in his class. And he got done and Chris Ryman went up to him and said, "Brother, that word, you actually said it wrong. You preached on a word that wasn't even in the verse." So Samson, in such nervousness and in such a rush, missed a word. The Lord still blessed it, though, because of his heart. Amen? So when you're reading your Bible and studying, you want to figure out the words. And that's why I spend a lot of time on words. So we're going to finish this verse here in 4, but I'm going to hit on these other parts of it real quick. So 9:4, it says here toward the end, "and the giving of the law." So we understand what law is. It's a rule. As Christians, we don't like law. We like to argue that we're under grace, and we don't have to worry about all the laws, but a good testimony is a good testimony, amen? So I'm just going to give you some references. We're not going to turn to these. I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to turn to some other references later on here. But the law, we talked about Exodus. You can go into Exodus 24, 3 through 8, Psalm 147, 19, and then even Romans 3, 1 through 2 is good for the law and understanding the law. Now, the Jews, again, were given all this, and they still didn't accept anything. And then the verse in 4 talks about, "and the giving of the law and the service of God." Now, this is a tough thing for Bible believers because service, in a general sense, it's labor of body or of body and mind performed at the command of a superior. Who? No one's going to tell me. Don't tell me. I'll tell you. Amen. So service. Well, I'm okay doing this for the church and for God, but how dare you want me to do this? Or how dare you ask me to do this? I do this. I'm not doing this. Can you imagine a pastor saying, "I preach. I'm not going to clean the church. I preach. I'm not going to a nursing home. I preach. I'm not going to get involved with VBS. I preach. I'm not going to help the ladies meet. I preach. I'm not getting on the buses. I preach. I'm not going to the station."
I will.
Amen. So it's so funny how our minds are. If he did it, it'd be wrong, and we talk about dinner table. But when we do it, we've got reasons. Amen. And this is the mindset of the Jews. They saw all these things, and they just didn't care. So the last thing here in verse 4, "and the service of God," and of course you're going to look at the verses, Exodus 19, 5 through 6, Ezra 7, 10, Malachi 2, 1 through 9 is all good, amen. So the last thing here in 4, "and the promises." I could stay weeks just on that. So I'm not going to, though. I'm going to give you two verses, Psalm 105, 9 through 11, and Romans 11, 25 through 28. So there's lots of promises that were given to the Jews. Now, we can get some of them. Spiritually, we can apply some of them, but we can't apply all of them. The big thing right now, we've got carpet here, amen, thank God. And we'll complain about the carpet. Maurice has dirt. And he doesn't complain about the dirt. He's happy in Haiti that he's got a dirt floor, amen, and it's dry. So the land over somewhere, I'm not going to tell you where, I want you guys to think about it, but there's a piece of dirt that everyone's fighting over that was promised to the Jew. Do your history. The Palestinians are not a people right now. The Palestinians that are over there are a bunch of Arabs from other countries that got exiled out years ago, and they started a government. And you have all these idiots in America thinking, well, the Jews need to return the land to Palestine. And a couple years ago, why did they give this area back? Why did they give this area back? The same reason a butcher in California put a sign up that there's no humane way to kill an animal. He did it because he was forced to, because people were almost naked in front of his store, putting fake blood on themselves, scaring away his customers. He gave into extortion just to shut up the crazies. Israel gives into extortion to shut up the crazies sometimes. And as Christians, we need to be praying for Israel and realize that dirt's important to God.
Right.
It's holy ground. Right. Amen. That'd be a blessing. I know Pastor talked, I think recently, maybe it was Brother Gipp or somebody who talks about taking their shoes off, or they take their shoes off because they believe it's holy ground. When I was a kid, we believed a church was something special. Now, of course, I wasn't saved. I went to a filthy church. But we believed something was special. Wouldn't it be awesome if we still had that belief sometimes?
Yeah.
But people come in here, it's just like the bar, just like Walmart. We're going to dress the same. We're going to talk the same. We're going to. Yeah. Now, you should act the same in the bar. You shouldn't even be in the bar. But in Walmart, wherever you go, as you act in church. But the problem is people bring the world into church, and it's okay to spit on the floor in church.
Yeah.
It's okay to bring the things in you've been asked not to bring in. It's okay to act the way you shouldn't act.
Yep.
It's fake.
Amen.
Why am I hitting all this? Israel had all these issues, and we read it, and we Monday morning quarterback and think, oh, I wouldn't have done that. We're doing it. They had everything given to them, and they rejected it. They saw everything from, you know, the waters part to armies of giants being taken over by them, all because of God's word. And they still doubted it and argued and murmured and complained, amen. So let's look at verse 5. If I go too quick over anything later on, pull me aside and I can give you verses or explain it. But I want to get a little further. I've been going a little slow. So in verse 5, Romans 9, 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So the devil gets upset because Israel's God's chosen people. Doesn't matter. They're his people. Amen. We need to pray for them. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven if they're not saved. But they're still God's chosen people. The devil gets upset. He wants that worship. That's why there's all this problem with that piece of dirt over there and with a small population of people. It's funny. We can have a 0.5% or 1% of a strange group of people demand rights, and we flip over and give them all these crazy rights and give them extra. But you got a people that people abuse, and you look at a map, and I tell the kids in junior church, you look at a map where Israel is and all the countries around them, and you read Israeli history, it's amazing. You know there's a God, how he's protected them. But you know there's a devil because there's so much hate and animosity toward those people. So it says here, who's our fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. So Acts 7, when you get a chance, read about Stephen. He's telling them the same thing, that their fathers, you know, not their biological daddy, but their forefathers, the patriarchs, have told them about things, and they didn't care. Just like when a pastor or teacher tells you something, but you don't care. My biggest thing is when someone preaches, and even now, you guys are here, you hear some stupid stuff, and you think, is that right? I think that's stupid. But you can find something right in there, but it gets me studying. He said that. I don't believe that's total wrong. Oh, no, he was right. He said that. I really like that. Oh, no, that was wrong. It doesn't hurt to look.
Amen.
So the last thing in this verse here, verse 5, go through chapter 7 in Acts when you get a chance to see Stephen talking about it. But where it says God bless forever, amen, a lot of people take that out of their Bibles or their perversions. Why do they take that out? Something you need to chew on. Look for yourself, amen. But there is a difference between a King James and a piece of crap New King James.
Amen.
There's a difference between a King James and a nutty idiot's version, or NIV. Don't be offensive, brother. I'm going to get upset. You're going to get upset if you want to get upset. If your heart's right, you know what I mean? When you watch your movies, you don't get upset.
Yeah.
When you go to work, you don't get upset. When you're with your family, you don't get upset. Amen? So they change the word of God, some of these perversions out there do, and we don't care as Christians. Bible-believing Christians, we should care.
Amen.
We're more worried about, I can't say whore, some woman not dressed right than we are about our own relationship with Jesus Christ. So you need to focus on the reality of things, start realizing, why is the devil taking this out of books, and what am I going to look at, and what am I going to do? The problem is, though, it's hard to get into it when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, amen? So look at verse 6 here. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. That's fitting. Let's read that again. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are all not all Israel. I'm sorry. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So I can summarize it. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Now here, let's look at what this is talking about here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. I got to give some scripture, amen. If somebody gets up and they don't give scripture and they just give their opinion the whole time, Don't turn them off. But when you get home, look for scripture to see what they're saying, if it's right or wrong. Amen. So I said first, and I'm in second. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Is it 2 Corinthians? I think it's first. Well, let me look. No, here it is. 1 Corinthians, the one I want to use first. 2 Corinthians is good, too. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. None effect. So here in Romans 9, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they are all not Israel, which are Israel. We're going to talk about Israel in just a second. But none effect. When preachers and teachers get up here, why do they rant and rave on other subjects sometimes? It's because we're flesh and we're not understanding. I'm looking at Squiggy and I'm looking at his shoes. I'm thinking, man, I don't like those shoes. When I got saved, I was told not to wear, and this is, I'm being facetious here. It's a simple example. But those shoes are bad. Whatever reason, that's wrong in his life. And why can't he get that right? And why did I get that right? Why did I get victory and he can't get victory? And instead of just hitting him with scripture, 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 and praying for him and praying for him and loving him, we get in our flesh sometimes and we say things and the intent's right. It just comes out wrong. I'm not picking on his shoes, amen. They're very nice shoes. Just an example. So we don't want it to be of none effect. So the most important thing Paul's saying there is about preaching the word. So it says here, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. There's two Israels, amen. There's a physical and a spiritual. Physical, the Jews. There's a spiritual one, ones that accepted. So we're going to look at and read a little bit more here. We're going to take a look at verse 7 here, and we're going to connect all this. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. So let's go to Genesis 22 real quick. I'm only going to read a few verses here, but it's amazing. God is love. Amen. God loves his people. But God's got some jealousy issues, and it's not envy. God's allowed to be jealous. He's God. Jealousy and envy, different. You got to study those out. So Genesis 22, we're going to look at. And this is a very offensive verse in 2017 because of what it implies and what it says. So Genesis 22, I'm just going to read verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. We're not going to go into the whole sacrifice or attempt of that and all the offering and all Jesus showing up and all that stuff. But it says here, take now thy son, thine only son. What was his first son's name? Ishmael. Very close to Isis, amen. But the father of Isis, I would argue. So his first son was Ishmael. He didn't accept him. He was rejected. God rejects things? God does reject things, amen. You need to reject things in your life. I was just telling preacher, when my wife and I got saved, it was tearfully we separated ourselves from a lot of our biological family because they weren't doing right. They didn't want to do right. I would hope my church family would want to do right.
Amen.
If not, I've got to separate from my church family. Now, you can come here and you could have messed up yesterday, but is your heart desire today to do right? That's what matters. I don't care what you did yesterday. What are you doing today? If you have something planned for tomorrow that's not right, you need to get it right and not do it, amen. So here, God picks Isaac. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. So you can look at, we're not going to go into it, Hebrew 12, 1 through 11, about chastening and not being a bastard. You can look at Acts 17, 26 through 30, about the offspring of God. But let's go over to Galatians 3. Let's look at Galatians 3. So when I first got saved, I made some changes. Somewhere because Pastor Ryman preached on things. I didn't do it for God. I did it for Pastor Ryman. Some because I just thought they were the right things to do. But then I started reading my Bible, and I started learning there were some things God wanted me to get rid of and give up and some things I needed to change. I don't understand if you're saved at 4 or 5, and now you're 15 or 25 or 35, why are you the same as all the other 15 and 25 and 30-year-olds out there? I became a new creature when I got saved. My family saw me turn.
Amen.
I don't have a drug testimony or a prison testimony. I have a self-righteous, prideful testimony. But they saw a change, amen.
Amen.
I don't even know where I said to turn to. I think I said Galatians. Okay. Galatians 3, amen. Let's look at verse 7. Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Let's jump on over to verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there are some spiritual things we can get, amen.
Right.
We're going to look at all this in a minute. Let's look at, we read in verse 8, it said, that is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. We're not going to go to Romans 12. Read Romans 12 if you ever get a chance for a Christian. That's an awesome chapter, amen. So let's go to John 3. I love John. So John 3. John 3 actually is one of my favorite chapters. So John 3, we're just going to look at verse 6 real quick. John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's two births there, amen. There's a fleshly birth that's physical. And there's a water birth that's spiritual. It's not baptism. I don't even say it's a water birth. They say that her water broke. But so look, let's take a look here. Let's go to John 8. So here's Jesus talking to some religious folk, amen. Look at John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. That would be good preaching. If you were Jesus Christ's child, you would do the works of Jesus Christ. Not an MC Hammer or Britney Spears or whoever the new hottie-tot is out there. But I'm showing my age now, I know. But that was a long time ago, wasn't it? He's saved, amen. I think he went bankrupt, last I heard. But so let's back up real quick, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you angry. No. What's it say there? Free. Oh, amen. Amen. It's going to make you free. So look at 844. Flip back over. 844. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So there's definitely something you got to figure out if you're a child of God or not. Now, of course, we know how this was applying to the Jews, but we can apply some of these spiritually and practically. It makes things easier for us. But verse 9 said in Romans 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And we just read about that. So another really bad word, cover your ears. No. God said no to Ishmael and yes to Isaac.
Amen.
God said no to this person and yes to this person.
Right.
God chooses sides, amen. What side are you on? So let's go back to Romans 9. We're going to read a few more. Preacher, I'm not going over. Joe Tuck's my timekeeper. If I go over, it's all his fault. It's all Joe's fault. So Amen. If I wore my glasses, it would help too. Amen. I got some. I just don't have them with me. So we're going to go to Romans. I'm fumbling back and forth thinking which way to go here. So let's look at in Romans 9. Let's read a few verses here. We're going to start in verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Amen. So, I'm not going to go into the election and predestination. We talked about all that stuff, I think, a couple days ago. And we're going to talk later when we get to Pharaoh about God's foreknowledge and understanding things. So, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So here's another issue. God doesn't always like the firstborns. Amen? So, let's look at Malachi. I think Brother Jack calls it Malachi. Let's go to Malachi chapter 1. So, Malachi is right before Matthew, amen. Malachi chapter 1, let's read verse 2 and 3 here. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob? And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So let's turn to Luke 14. So we're going to go to Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So the word hate has two meanings. You've got to take your time, read your Bible, and look at things. The Bible says God hated Esau. He hated Esau. It says he took away everything. Nothing but problems there. So that hate is the bad word that offends everybody in church. God does hate. He hates sin, and he hates sinners who are sinning willfully. There's a hell for sinners that don't get saved, amen? I hate it when we say, I'm just a sinner. It's like we make fun of it. It's okay. It's okay to lie. It's okay to cheat and steal. No, it's wrong. It's filthy. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you shouldn't be doing it anymore. You should be different. Amen? Yeah. So, but here in Luke, we hit a problem text or a verse here. God wants me to hate mommy and daddy. No, here this hate, this is New Testament, and if we read it and compare Scripture with Scripture, it just means less love. We're loveless. We need to love Jesus Christ more. We need to put Jesus Christ above everything. If you do that, you have no problem. Now, do I believe God hates? Yeah, I do. I still give people tracts, though. There are people that just look crazy to me or smell crazy or talk crazy or act crazy. I don't hate them. I want them to get saved. Just because I believe a Bible doctrine doesn't mean I don't like people. I love people. I have to love people. It's hard sometimes, but I try, amen. And I can stand before God in a clear conscience. And as Paul says, I speak the truth, I lie not, that my desire is to see people saved, no matter what color, what crazy thing is going on in their life or in their head about their feelings because they get so much from the news media or whatever the issue is. I've given them a track and I've spoken to them. Have you? Because I'm telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. So I know with a clear conscience, I don't hate anybody. No matter how offensive I may sound sometimes or how hard you think I am, when I stand before God, I have a clear conscience that I'll talk to people about Jesus Christ. If you're not talking to people about Jesus Christ, then you don't love them. You hate them. And you're a hypocrite for getting upset with a preacher or a teacher that you think is too gruff and too rough to a saved body of Christ believers that should be able to handle it. And I don't understand that. You can ask my wife and my daughter. I'm the same wherever I am. But when I'm dealing with a lost person or someone I'm not sure if they're saved, I do have compassion with them. I have compassion with church people too. But with church people, I should be able to be honest. I should be able to say, Brother Joe, you got spinach between your teeth. Wipe it away real quick. He should be able to say, thank you, brother. I didn't see that. I didn't think about it. Not, I can't believe he said that to me. How mean of him to point out my flaw. It's your heart thing. He knows that I'm doing it to help him. He's not going to get mad at me. But if he thinks I'm against him, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know the book, amen. Now, Brother Joe does. I'm just picking on people that are close, amen. It's easier to pick on close people. So let's, I've got just a couple minutes here, I think. Amen. So let's, back in Romans 9, and I, you know me, I'd like to go over every single word, but I don't have the time for all that. But there's so much Bible, guys. If you can get a concordance, or go to thywordistrue.com. It's a free concordance online. He's a Bible believer. But Romans 9, we'll start in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. So, this is a tough one for Bible-believing churches. Because we like the idea of grace and mercy bestowed upon us. But we don't always understand it. So what is grace? What is mercy? Let's look at Genesis 6:8. First time the word grace shows up in the Bible. Genesis 6:8. So Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So grace is getting something you don't deserve. So grace is when pastor doesn't punish somebody like he should as a pastor. Grace isn't when someone does wrong because they know they're not going to get punished. That's not grace. Grace isn't ignoring the spinach in someone's teeth and not telling them it's there. That's not grace. That's stupidity. Oh, I don't want to tell the brother that there's a rattlesnake behind him because he might get mad. If he gets bit and dies, or if his kid gets bit, or his kid's got his finger in the electrical socket, you're not going to tell him? Well, no. You don't love him then. Yeah. We've gotten so brainwashed by the TV and the media. I know you don't like me talking about all that stuff, but if you have a job or a family, and you're working, I don't know how you find time for all the TV shows and all the Facebook and media. Read the book, amen? Now, if you're reading your Bible, that's fine. I just read it. I don't know if it was Mel Tello or Donovan, one of the magazines I read. They said, isn't it funny that Christians will time how much they're in their Bible? Ha ha, I did my hour. But they don't do the timer when they're on the internet. Yeah. They don't do the timer when they're on their TV shows. Yeah. They don't do the timer when they're doing fleshly, worldly things. Just shows your heart, amen? So grace is getting something you don't deserve. Let's look at mercy. Let's go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And we'll look at verse 19. 19:19. Genesis 19:19. Now here's this guy, Lot, who's living like hell, living wicked and filthy, willing to offer his daughter up to the Sodomites. They don't want his daughter. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. So he's talking about grace and magnified thy mercy. He's talking about mercy here. So what is mercy? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And Brother Eric just said it, and like he said, it's not a cliche. If your heart's right and you're reading your Bible, you realize you deserve to be in hell for the things you've thought. I don't care if you've never murdered anybody. For the drinks you've drank, for the music you've danced to and listened to, for the movies you've watched, the things that sin against a holy God, they're an abomination to God. And when your little voice inside you, if you're saved, you may not be saved, tells you they're wrong, and you ignore that, That's where you have broken fellowship with God. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So the problem today with today's Christians are they don't deserve anything bad. They deserve everything perfect. They deserve a bed of roses. Show me a verse for that until you're with the Lord, amen. And I'll talk to you about it. So I hope in my spirit's not a bad spirit. I'm not trying to be upset with anybody. I'm angry, though, because I'm frustrated. My church, I believe, is the best church in town. I believe it's the best church in this country. I believe it's the best church in this world. I believe Pastor Ryman is the same when he's here, when he's in a restaurant, when he's in his house. I didn't say he's perfect. He's not God. But he has a desire to see people saved. He cares about souls. He cleaned up his life. We have him as an example. We have many other examples we can look at. But what do? We still have the parties with the alcohol. We still watch the movies with the filthy language in. We still bump and grind. You think that's okay? Are you crazy? It's of the devil and it's filth. You don't believe me? Look in here. The sound of war in the camp. You have enough problem fighting the spiritual battle to do right. Why are you going to add things to it? If you're saved, I believe you're either saved or lost. I don't believe you're really saved. You're either saved or you're not. When I got saved, something happened in me. I messed up a lot. I still mess up a lot. But there's something in me to this day when I do wrong, it bears witness and tells me it's wrong. And I feel horrible about it. And I got to get it right. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I know, Lord, Romans 9 is a tough book, Lord. And I know you're a good God, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Please, Lord, help us not to take your goodness, Lord, and just spit in your face with it, Lord. Please, God, help us to realize, Lord, we are going to stand before you, Lord. Christians, Lord, are going to have a judgment. Yes, Lord, the lost have a judgment. Help us, Lord, have a desire, Lord, that if we do love you, Lord, that we want to please you, Lord. I didn't say we're going to be perfect, Lord. There's no reason we can't be, but I know we're going to make mistakes, God. Please, Lord, I believe your word is the only thing that's going to help us. A pretty song, a Hallmark commercial, something that pulls our heartstrings, those things aren't always bad, but that's not the word of God. Please, God, help us to open your book. We don't understand it. Help us to read it anyway, Lord. Come to Sunday school, come in church, and actually stay in the pews, not hide outside or downstairs or in the nursery or in a classroom. Help us just to be where your word is, Lord. Please give us what we need to have, Lord. Help us to chew up the meat, Lord, and spit out the bones. The problem is we like to suck on those bones and spit out the meat, Lord, because it makes us feel better. Please, God, be with any of the teaching or preaching that goes on the next hour, God. Please, if there's anyone that shows up that's lost, Lord, help them to get saved. For those of us that are saved, Lord, please help us to do right, Lord, and help us to fall in love with you more and help us to back it up, Lord, by looking at your word. Please, God, I just want you to know I love you. I thank you again for the opportunity, Lord. I ask you to save their souls nearest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen.